It was during yesterday's show, I think, that we started receiving calls about taxi violence along Prince George Drive. Taxis blocking the military road intersection in an apparent attempt to stop rival taxis from operating between Vrijgrond and the Blue Route Mall. The violence affecting the Kirstenhof area yesterday afternoon, police warning residents there to stay indoors. Of course, this is unfortunately not a new story. Just a quick look on our news page, take us back to 2014 already, EWN reporting on conflict involving the Retreat and Vrijgrond taxi associations. In that case, one person killed, another wounded when there was shooting between the rival organizations. And at the time, there was speculation that this was linked to rivalry over who was operating on what routes and who was operating legally and illegally. That seems to be the same question at the heart of the current outbreak of violence. We're going to find out today what is behind this latest flare-up, who's been affected, and what progress has been made in bringing the situation under control again. On the line is Sipisihle Dube, who is a spokesperson for the Western Cape Transport Department. Sipisihle, thanks so much for joining us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too, Papa, and afternoon to your listeners.
What do we know about the situation today? First of all, was there further violence this morning?
Well, we were informed late yesterday that there was an intention, a clear intention by those protesting to carry on protest action until they feel that they have had their grievances met or understood. It's unfortunate, and again, we're working closely with enforcement officers. It's unfortunate that they've chosen to take this route, which is an illegal route, to protest in this way, blockading vehicles from roads. So we're working with SAPS and other enforcement officials to make sure that this does not continue.
Now, what are the grievances at the heart of the story? I mean, I've mentioned already that this is a long-standing rivalry. Yeah. There have been previous incidents in previous years. What seems to have caused this current flare-up?
Yeah, well, you've actually encapsulated the whole issue quite well, and it goes even beyond 2014 to as early as about 2009, this particular dispute. So currently, it seems that the Retreat Taxi Association are a bit disgruntled with the types of actions that we have taken against these illegal operators that are known to be part of the Vrijgrond Taxi Association. What most people don't know is that we've gone as far as even approaching the courts for some remedies as well. We've as recently as last week, trying to get to the bottom of what these issues are and to make sure that the Vrijgrond Taxi Association understand that none of their operators that do not have legal operating licenses can operate in those areas. We do know that there have been many instances, particularly in the past, where such members of the association have tried to flout the law and continue to operate. We have acted swiftly as law enforcement officials as well. Since last year, or this year alone, there have been about 865 fines that have been issued and 29 taxis impounded for operating illegally. So we've tried our very best to intercede in a way that we feel appropriate and the law allows us to, and we continue to engage with both parties about this issue.
Sipisihle, let's talk a little bit about how licensing works and how routes are set out. I mean, when the routes are mapped out, are particular associations given particular routes and nobody else may drive along those routes? How does it work?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. So the bigger framework is one managed by the city and their kind of transport planning. So they will designate certain areas needing or requiring a certain amount of service. So it will dictate how many operators licenses can be issued in a particular area and to whom. And they can only be issued to members of associations. So that distinction does definitely exist, that should happen, that certain members of a particular association can operate in a particular area for a certain period of time. That is reviewed, obviously, as settlement patterns change over a period of time. So that might seem that in a particular area there might be a growth in population for whatever reason, and that was the case a few years ago in this particular area, that might need a slightly bigger service. But there's always, in most instances, more vehicles or more operators willing to operate than there actually is a need. And it's important for regulators to keep that kind of under control so that there aren't more taxis than there is a need, which would make all the businesses of these operators not viable. So that is where kind of we sit at the moment. So the competition continues to be stiff in areas, and we try to regulate it by ensuring that not too many people are operating in particular routes.
Now, when things stray away from that plan, so one organization starts muscling in and encroaching on the turf of another, this is where we see these flare-ups happening. Yeah. Whose responsibility is it to monitor that and to step in if they see, whether it be Vrijgrond or anybody else, moving in onto a route that's not meant to be designated to them? Whose task is it actually to bring them back in line and take further steps?
enforcement action. So the operating licenses are rights. They are rights bestowed upon the holders to operate in a particular area. Anyone that's doing so without such an operating license is doing so illegally. So it becomes an enforcement issue when that does happen. So we get numerous reports of such instances happening, and then all of our enforcement officials then step in to try to make sure that that does not happen. On a bigger kind of framework in terms of regulating and otherwise, the provincial departments as well as the city kind of step in to make sure that the operations are fair, as I was describing before, and that the right associations and right number of people are granted operating licenses without any delay. So it's a joint effort to respond when situations like this do occur. But it's very clear that there's often, in most instances across the city, often much more kind of supply than there is demand.
Okay. Our listener Vic, who lives in Marina da Gama, has mailed to say this happens almost every year. Authorities need to come down hard. And he asked the question, why can't guns be confiscated? Because, of course, we know it's more than just blockading roads. If shots are fired, it becomes a much bigger danger. What action? I believe there have been arrests this morning.
Yeah, there's always those kinds of actions that take place. Illegal guns have been confiscated in the past before from operators in particular areas. We've also found in certain areas, not this one in particular, a big kind of gang element that has infiltrated in the taxi industry and operations as well. So it's a whole scale kind of law enforcement that deals with it in its totality.
Sibizihle, thanks so much for the update. Just in closing, we heard that arrests had been made, possibly as many as 30 this morning. Can you confirm that?
No, I don't have that information to confirm.
Okay, fair enough. Sibizihle Dube, thank you so much for that update. A spokesperson for the Provincial Transport Department.